Good morning.
Good morning.
I am glad to be here. Although if you could feel how my stomach is feeling at the moment, you would wonder. I've spoken thousands and thousands of times, but I don't know if I've ever been as nervous as I am this morning. And my friends have said to me this morning that when you get up to speak, just be yourself. So I'm going to try to be myself. I don't know how to be anyone else, I guess, right? Right. I think we're good there. Let me start off by saying, first of all, I'm very thankful for the place that Oxford Baptist Church has played in my life. I know since we've come back about almost 3 years ago, there's a lot of people here that I have no idea who you are. And I'm sure you have no idea who I am. So I'll share with you just a bit. And the reason I'll do that is just to calm my nerves a bit, okay? So let my stomach nerves settle down just a bit. We came to Oxford Baptist Church in 1974, just after 6 years of ministry with Christian Service Centers, where I taught in the public schools in Norfolk County for 6 years, going into the public school classroom and sharing the gospel to kids in school. You can't do that these days. But those were fruitful years. I enjoyed those years. In the summertime, I directed vacation Bible schools in Ontario, Michigan, New York State, and enjoyed that ministry. And then God called me into the Christian Service Brigade ministry. And that's when we came to Woodstock. This was the central location for the territory I would cover. And so for the next 20 years, I spent my life in a green and red uniform. And Gloria, I think I still have that. At one time, Gloria said she would likely bury me in that uniform. But those were great years, and a part of those years in Christian Service Brigade, although I served all of Southwestern Ontario, part of it was involved being the chief ranger and the captain here in the brigade unit at Oxford Baptist Church. And some of the characters I had in those groups are still here in the church. A lot of them have grown up. They now have children and have moved on in life and matured a lot. So those were good years. And we still have the gift that you gave to us when we left Oxford Baptist Church in 1995 to go to pastor the church in Fortridge, Ontario, and it hangs in our home still. A beautiful, gorgeous mirror, and we still have that and still treasure that very much. I spent 16 years as pastor of Fortridge Brethren in Christ Church. Some thought I have gone astray when I went from a Baptist church to a Brethren in Christ church. But my basic convictions never changed. They've always been centered in the Word of God, but fruitful years there, enjoyed the ministry there very much. And when that ministry came to a conclusion in 2011, it's like a part of my life was ripped away from me. And I found it extremely difficult to leave ministry and loved it so much. And for a while, I just seemed to be lost, totally lost. And that eventually led me to, when I was looking through the newspaper one day, I saw a job there. I thought, well, that could be interesting. Give me something to do. Get me out of Gloria's hair. So I applied and became a part-time driver for paratransit here in Woodstock. So my daily duties now involve most afternoons picking up people with disabilities and limitations and taking them to Walmart. That's one of the most popular places to go to. The hospital, doctor's appointments, wherever they need to go. We get them there, and I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. I could tell you a lot of stories about what happens on the bus, but I'll spare you that this morning. So that's the way it's kind of been. I noticed here on the table this morning, there's a puzzle. A 1,000-piece puzzle. Nice picture on the box. Do you mind if I put it together? You might have to wait a while. I don't need that. Now here's two pieces that look like they could go together. Not going. I got something that'll fix that. Still not going together. Why not? Tell me why it's not working. What?
They don't fit and they don't belong together. You're not going by the bed of the box. That's
the best. Hey, I used to do these things and do them in record time. Piece of cake. You're right. Those two pieces don't fit together. And you're right. I made a mistake, didn't I? I took the lid of the box, which has the picture of the puzzle on it, that shows me exactly what the final product is to look like. And without that, I dare say I'll never get it together. No matter how hard I try, I'll never get it together without seeing the big picture, regardless of how long I try to do that. Let me ask you a question this morning. How easy or how well are you doing at putting the pieces of life together? Sometimes it's pretty tough, isn't it, to get all the pieces together. And I can share honestly with you this morning and say over the last 3 or 4 years since retiring from ministry, one of my struggles has been getting all the pieces together and understanding and seeing the big picture of life. Does that surprise you? I admit to you this morning, it's been a real struggle. Sometimes the pieces just don't seem to fit together the way I hoped they would or I thought they would. I didn't work at the puzzle that we have on the table this morning long enough to get frustrated. But if I had worked at it long enough, probably about 5 minutes in or so, you would notice a lot of frustration. Sometimes I experience that same frustration when it comes to dealing with life. The fact of the matter is, it's easy to put the good pieces together. You know, when everything is going well and everything is good, like we sang this morning, you recognize the fact that God is good. So when finances are good, that's cool. When family relationships are good, that's cool. When your health is good, that's good, cool. What about when the bad things happen in life? You know, when perhaps you lose your job and there's no new opportunity in sight. When money runs dry and you wonder how you're going to get the things that you really need to exist, then it gets a little more difficult. When relationships fracture and there's stress in relationships, sometimes hard to see that big picture. When you lose someone that you love dearly, it's hard to get it together. And that's been a part of my story the last 2 or 3 years. And as you would well understand and know, that the death of Gordon really shook me up big time. Really led to a lot of frustrations, a lot of doubts, a lot of unanswered questions. And I wasn't able to see the big picture of life. So that's this morning kind of what I'd like us to do, is to try to get a handle on really what is the big picture. And the big picture that God wants us to see. And if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, I stole that from Pastor Don, by the way. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Would you turn there with me for a moment, please? We're turning to a portion of Scripture that is probably very well known. We've heard it lots. We probably have used it lots. Sometimes we take it out of context, but it's there for us. Now, I'm not going to read the whole portion this morning, but I'd leave it to you if you would like to read Romans chapter 8 from verse 18 down to the end of verse 30. But this morning, I'm just going to read from verse 28 down to the end of verse 30. Very familiar portion of Scripture. And this is what Paul writes under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we know that in all things, God works for the good to those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The first thing I want us to consider this morning is the amount of the promise. This portion of Scripture says, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. And my first thought is, really? All things work together for good. Really? I struggle with that. All things work together for good? Paul says they do. But what is he really saying? I guess that's the question for us this morning. What is Paul really saying when he makes that statement? All things work together for good to those that love God. Is Paul trying to say to us that everything that happens in our life is good? Has that been your experience, that everything that has happened in your life is good? Certainly hasn't been mine. I've had some bad things. I've shared some of those, what I would consider bad things, with you. But you don't know them all. And it wouldn't be prudent to tell you them all. But some real bad things. Bad things do happen to good people, don't they? Bad things do come into the life of Christians. So I don't believe Paul is saying that we're never going to experience bad things in our life. Neither is Paul saying that God works everything out for our comfort, convenience, wealth, and health. I don't think he's saying that either. One of the things I've had to contend with since moving back to this area, living in Ingersoll, in the fall of 2012, I began to experience pain in my left foot. I must admit, in life, I really haven't experienced much pain. I really haven't had much in the way of poor health. But it persisted and it persisted and it persisted. So naturally, I went to the doctor and I said, I've got a problem. Here's what it is. And eventually, they sent me to a specialist to have the foot checked out, and they made the determination I got arthritis in my left foot. And it's there all the time. There's never been a day in the last 2 years that is not there, and I experienced pain and suffering in that left foot. They've shot cortisone into it, helped a little bit, put me on different medications, but really, 2 years later, there's nothing that's changed. The change still persists. When it comes time to go to bed, I lay in bed in agony, not able to sleep because of the pain in my foot. And so, that's a part of life for me now. My one doctor said, well, it'll go away in 2 years, but 2 years is up and it hasn't gone away. So God doesn't work everything out for our comfort and our convenience, our health and wealth. And Paul is not saying in some twisted ways that wars, famines, disease, and all that kind of stuff, that's a good thing. And you should know it. You should understand that. I don't think that's what Paul is saying when he says all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. But what is he saying then? That becomes the key question. What is he saying? And I think Paul is saying this. For people to whom this promise is made, and catch this, folks, this promise is not made to everyone. the promise that all things work together for good. It's not made to everyone. But I believe what he's saying, for the people to whom this promise has been made, everything works good to accomplish God's good goal or purpose in their life. Sometimes I don't grasp that, sometimes I don't understand that, but I can tell you this morning, that is what I believe. I believe that in some way, God takes everything that comes into my life, good and bad, and he uses those things to accomplish his purpose and his goal for my life. I don't know if I will ever completely understand that. That's why we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. The big picture for this puzzle is seen here on the lid of the box. The big picture for life is revealed to us in this wonderful book known as the Bible. And without it, we'll never get it. We'll never understand life, and we'll never see the big picture. So the next question comes for us this morning: to who is the promise made? And the promise is made to an audience of people. Have you ever walked into a room and heard someone talking and thought they were talking to you? You ever done that? I've done that, and they may have been talking on the telephone. They may have been talking to someone else, or if they're like me, they were probably talking to themselves. But they weren't talking to me. And so this verse tells us who God is talking to whom this promise is made. So there's an audience. And whenever there's a promise made in Scripture, in the Bible, there's always an audience. There's always someone or some group of people that God is speaking to. And through this verse, he is talking to people in which two things are true in their lives. Next slide. Thank you. The first thing it says is made to people who love God. It's easy for me to say that I love God at times. But sometimes, during the past 2 or 3 years, during the difficult times, it was hard for me to say that I love God. Are you shocked? A pastor, a guy that's been in ministry all of his life. And there were times when I doubted my love for God because of what I had experienced. Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? The lawyers, Sadducees and Pharisees were together and debating, and one well-versed in law, asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was. And Jesus said, the greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. But this promise is made to those who truly and sincerely love God. Now, as I stand here before you this morning, I can think of a lot of reasons why I should love God. A lot of reasons why I should love God. For sacrificing his son for me to give me eternal life. Transform my life, change my life at the age of 17. Yeah, I can be thankful. I can be thankful for the fruitful years of ministry God gave to me, Christian Service Centers, Christian Service Brigade, and then pastoring with church. Every one of those experiences were life-enriching experiences for me. And I thank him. I thank him for my family. I thank God for the people he's brought into my life that have been good to us. But the promise is made to those who love God. The second thing it tells us there, to those who put his purpose first in their lives. to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Is it easy to live according to God's purpose and God's plan for your life? Once you know it. Key thing is knowing it. Sometimes that's quite a discovery in and of itself. I struggle sometimes in wanting to live life my way. I struggle sometimes in wanting to do things and accomplish things, go after things, achieve things for myself. But this verse says that all things work together for good, first of all, to those that love God, and then to those who are willing to live according to his purposes and not their own. And that can be quite a challenge, at least for me it is, and probably for most of us. So we know there's a promise that's made, and we know who the promise is made to. And the next slide, please. And then there's the aim of the promise. But we have to go on beyond verse 28 to get the aim of the promise. Let me reread it for you again. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. According to what I just read, what is God's goal for your life and my life? God knew at the age of 17 that this teenage guy who didn't grow up in church, who didn't know hardly anything about the Bible, would put his faith and trust in him. And then, did my life ever take a turn? I ended up in unexpected places. A year and a half later, I'm in Bible college, just after my conversion. And then this wonderful journey since then. But all along, what has been God's goal for me? And what is God's goal for you? According to these verses. If I understand this correctly, God's goal for my life is to make me as much like Jesus as I possibly can. And I will admit to you this morning, I don't think I'm quite there. In fact, I might be a long way off yet. But God wants me, my life, to be a reflection of Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life for me. I have a ways to go. Ways to go. What would it be like to be like Jesus? How would my life be different if I was able to live the way Jesus lived? How would my life be different if I was able to view the world the way Jesus viewed the world when he was here? How would I treat people if my life was more like Jesus? I'll tell you this. At this stage, at this moment, standing here this morning, I want to be like Jesus. I really do. The best way to find out what it's like to live as Jesus lived, we're told, we're to follow in his steps. God wants us to be made new in the image of Jesus. And the best way for me to get that is certainly in the Gospels, isn't it? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want to know what Jesus is like, how Jesus related to the world, how Jesus treated people, his mission, his purpose in life, what he poured his energies into. You get it here. You really do get it here. Ken abuse in my life. Make me more like Jesus. I believe it can. Can being lied about and losing your job? Now, that's never happened to me. So, could that make you more like Jesus? Perhaps. Stress relationships, broken relationships? Could they make you more like Jesus? Mm-hmm. Could losing my son make me more like Jesus? I believe it can. Because I believe what Paul said here, that all things, good, bad, God takes those and works them together for his good purposes, my life, to make me more like Jesus. Do I completely understand it? Some days not. But I know it does. Do you guys like cake? You want to have cake this morning? Where'd my cake go? Oh, it's over here. And why, look at all this stuff. 2 cups of flour. I'm going to give that to you. You're a part of the cake. 4 teaspoons. No, these are teaspoons of coca. That's yours. Salt. I'm going to give that to you, sir. 1 cup of Miracle Whip. Boy, you're getting the taste of this cake already? Sounds pretty good, right? Here, you can have that. What else we got here? I'm making it sound like I know how to make a cake. I have no idea how to make a cake. I've never made one. Oh, okay. 1 cup of white sugar. That's all yours. 1 cup of water. I'll give that to you, Gloria.
Thank you.
And 1 cup of pure vanilla. You can have that. Told you I didn't know anything about making cakes. Some baking soda. Who would like to have? Here, Marion, you can have some baking. Okay, friends, you got all the ingredients for a cake. Enjoy it. I want you to eat that now. Whatever I gave to you, I want you to put it down. You're not going to do it? No, some of those things, if you try to eat them the way they are now, you're not going to feel good. You just will not feel good. You say, that's a cake. But you know what? You take all those ingredients in the right proportions, mix them together, and do all the things you're supposed to do with them, you'll produce a beautiful cake that will taste real good, right? And that's often the way life is. We got all these different ingredients that make up life, good things, bad things. But somehow God can put them all together in the mixer. I bought Gloria a mixer for Christmas, by the way, so she could make me good cake. But you put them all together, and that final product is something wonderful. See, I believe that's what God can do in our lives. He can take all that stuff, mix it together, and produce something wonderful. What he really wants to produce is a person that looks like Jesus. Because when we look like Jesus, we can go out and impact and make a difference in this world the way we need to, the way we should. So God, yes, do I believe it? I believe it. If you love God, if you're willing to live according to his purpose, I believe God can take all that stuff and work it together for his good purposes in your life and my life. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for your love, for your grace. Lord, I'm sure we're all willing to admit here this morning that we don't always completely understand life or see the big picture. And even what I've shared this morning isn't the total picture. It's only a part of the picture that you revealed to us in your word. But Lord, I do pray that you would take this portion of scripture and impact it upon our lives to help us to realize that even though life sometimes gets yucky, you're working. You're accomplishing your purposes. We thank you for the good things we experience, and thank you that you allow those things to be a part of our life. Lord, help me. Help these people. Help us to be like Jesus, conformed to his image, a reflection of him in all that we say and do. I ask in Christ's name. Amen.